The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We have an interesting crowd in the studio today. Boil and bubble, double trouble. We have two guests today. We have June Marshall and we had Brad Motti, and they're involved with a company called Riparyo. June is the founder and CEO, and Brad is the president. So we've got all kinds of things to talk about today, including the trending phrase of predictive analytics, and also a better phrase, which I think is how we can help our federal listeners, how we can help procurement people in the federal government. And that's really what I want to talk about, is how we can help our listeners achieve some of the goals they have, because if you haven't figured out, there's lots of changes going to take place in the next couple of years in the federal government. And I want to involve with many different aspects of how to help and what different tools you can have to use. But before we begin, June, could you tell us about your background, how you wound up working for this company, in fact, founding this company?
Thanks for the opportunity. Well, I started in federal contracting in 2011, doing business development consulting for several federal contractors. A number of them were subcontractors that were very geographically distributed and had done work as subs in Guam, in the Middle East, in Okinawa, and around the U.S. And it was very important for them to be careful who the primes were that they were teaming with, because their win rate was a percentage of a percentage. Coming from a supply chain background and also an emerging technologies market analyst, I saw this as a supply chain optimization problem and applied it to the bidding workflow. So that was kind of how Riparyo started.
Your LinkedIn profile says you know a little Turkish. That's interesting. Huh? Spent some time over there. How'd you learn that?
I did. I lived there on and off between 2001 and 2004, and I want my decade back. It's the hardest language I've ever learned. We go there all the time, almost every year.
It's not Indo-European. It's based in Central Asia. It's Altaic and Asiatic.
Altaic, yes. Yeah. It's not related to anything.
Yeah. But everyone loves it there. I tell you, people go there and they love it. The people are wonderful. It's great climate. It's a great place to be. So interesting. Very few people I run into know about Turkey and Turkish languages. You know, it's unusual. And Brad, tell us about your background, please.
Sure. My name is Brad. I came to the federal market in 2010 and really started as a management consultant working closely on acquisition policies in the federal government, actually working with procurement offices and shops about finding efficiencies and being able to engage with the market in more effective ways. And then I also was doing business development for my company as well. And I recognized that the market didn't have the characteristics of what you think of as a healthy market. It was very difficult to get information about potential suppliers and teaming partners. It was very difficult to interact with and find the right people that you wanted to talk to find productive solutions for the government. And within the government, it just seemed like there were a lot of bad solutions that were the result of acquisition processes that hadn't benefited from the breadth of the market. I started working with June about a year ago as an advisor, and we were collaborating on the tool and the platform, and I just signed on about a month and a half ago, and it's been an amazing experience so far.
I think the amazing experience in your background is you went to Oberlin, and you're not a music major. Come on, they're all music majors there, aren't they?
That is true. I like to say that I would have been. I played a couple instruments before I went to Oberlin, and I just stopped playing all of them because I was around these amazing musicians.
They're incredible. It's like Mozart to your left, Beethoven to your right, and you're like some kid in a high school band, and you get crushed.
And here we are changing federal government. That's right.
Yes. But a little birdie told me he is an amazing DJ.
Well, we'll find out. Give us your fake DJ voice. Can you
come to the website and find my name and we'll connect. Talk.
My. Very interesting. So we have situations here that are kind of unusual. I've been doing the show for 10 years and I see all kinds of ebbs and flows and changes. And I would say as a general rule, if you look at the next two or three years, I think federal procurement people are going to be under the gun, under the microscope, and being forced to be very competitive in how they let contracts. And I can't predict exactly what's going to happen. I can say in general that's probably what's going to happen and increase competition. And I think the offering that your company has fits in real nicely with that general flow, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I think there's going to be a lot of focus on what federal policymakers and federal leaders do in terms of strengthening, improving acquisition policies, processes, et cetera. I think we were thinking about this a little bit more holistically. That's one half of the equation, which is making sure you have the right people, processes, et cetera. But what seems to be the missing piece across the entire ecosystem is information, compiled in a way that's effective and helpful in making decisions. And when we look at how limited information is available to federal agencies right now, how much they're having to make decisions under a short time frame without being able to really understand the capabilities of the market, that's a challenge. And then on the other side, obviously, suppliers don't have the type of information they need to make effective choices as well. So I think more broadly, the industry, regardless of what happens to acquisition choices that are made, really lacks a healthy system of market intelligence and information that's able to create efficiencies and value that we look for.
You know, June, what's interesting is that when I see the phrase market research platform, I think of, I don't think of govies. I think of companies trying to do this. And but there's both sides of the coin here for your company. You can help government contractors with market-driven research. You can help actual federal procurement people with market-driven research. The market-driven research is the key here. It's data-driven. It's not emotional. It's data-driven research. Is that right?
Yes. Well, you know, when I first started working with these subcontractors, it was glaringly obvious to me that a very big factor in win rate is the competitive market. It's the competitive landscape. And so, you know, early on in the customer development journey, I did a lot of networking in the Society of American Military Engineers. I consider some people very strong mentors and early users of the platform since the prototype, you know, giving me feedback on every single component as I was building it. And these are people who manage federal programs in industry, and prior to that, were deputy commanders at three different Army Corps districts. And so they really shared with me their feedback and pain points on the industry side and also on the government acquisition side. And that has been baked into this tool all along.
I love the two acronyms in town for associations. One is called ASNE for Naval Engineers and SAME for Military Engineers. You know, right church, different pews for that same type of mindset.
Uh-huh. Well, and I would just say, you know, a part of the market that I worked closely with was in the technology and professional services space. And, you know, I think that from my experience, we saw how there are so many challenges that specific acquisition shops are having in being able to compile information effectively. And on the professional services IT market side, people are really struggling to understand when a particular RFP or opportunity comes out, who are the capabilities that would be able to potentially bear into a solution and provide value to the government. Acquisition shops are concerned about protest risk. And there isn't a great way to mitigate that risk right now because there aren't any data-driven solutions in the market to help them make sure they're reaching the right suppliers, make sure they're communicating with the right people to ensure that we meet all the values that we care about in our acquisition system, competition, best value, et cetera.
So, June, let me play out a scenario for you, June. So let's say we have Gilroy Software, and I see an RFP, and I don't have a specific talent, let's say an Oracle skill. And so I get on the phone and I call up my buddy Ralph and go, who do you know that can do this? I mean, it's kind of an old boy network, kind of informal. Well, I went to college with Sally and she can do it, I think, and she's in Minnesota. And this is how I think a lot of partnerships are formed. But you have a better answer than, you know, the old boy network and who you went to college with, don't you?
Yes. So it is an art today, and Riperio sets out to make it a science. Now, government contracting is a relationship business. It will never stop being a relationship business. But in Riperio, for the first time, instead of just relying on your network, is you have a data-driven solution to, within a few clicks and within 90 seconds, look at an opportunity, be able to see the entire ecosystem of contractors that have awards doing similar work, and also the ecosystem of contractors who have been historically interested in similar work, segmented by whether they are likely to prime or team or subcontract. And so within a few clicks, you can know your best teaming partners, you know, your best potential subcontractors, and then also click through to the contractor profile and be on the phone with them. in a matter of minutes.
It's all data driven. It's not emotional. It's and you probably get better talent than maybe that Sally up in Minnesota, maybe not that good at Oracle, and maybe it's a Rohan in Texas. I mean, that's the way it's going now. It's like all geographic doesn't mean much anymore. It's Rohan in Texas is good. We can bring him in instead of someone else. And so it allows you to be more competitive in many different areas.
And recruiters love it, too, because they are often looking for someone with business development experience with a particular agency or on a particular contract vehicle. And in Riparyo, they can laser target the companies and the people that work for those companies with that experience.
Let's take a break and come back, talk more about Riparyo and market research platforms in general, and maybe a phrase called pipeline management, which is means many different things to many different people. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, June Marshall, founder and CEO, as well as Brad Motti, president of Riparyo. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, boil and bubble, double trouble. We have two executives from a company called Riparyo, R-E-P-P-E-R-I-O. And we have June Marshall, the founder, and Brad Motti, president of Riparyo. We've been talking about, believe it or not, market research platforms in the federal government, and they really what they have is a federal analytics contracting platform. So they have this platform to help you with contracts. It can help both govies and it can help contractors. So it's a good flexible platform. My avocation is reading, I have to tell you the truth. I read widely. I'm reading Stacy Schiff's book on Benjamin Franklin in Paris right now. And it's quite a story to tell. He was a character. Now, Ben Franklin is famous for making decisions by taking a piece of paper, putting a line down the middle, and listing the pros and the cons, and going back and forth and back and forth. And when I was doing research on your company, I kind of see the pros, not pros and cons, but different aspects, different personas, perhaps. So one persona may be a federal contractor. Another persona may be actually an acquisition officer for the federal government. So different personas. However, using the same tool. It's like a homeowner using a drill and then the contractor using the drill as well. So it's same tool, different applications. And that's kind of interesting there.
Yep.
So, June, just from a big picture perspective, from the contractor's perspective, What inefficiencies did you find that you think your company helps solve?
Well, it's very different. It's very difficult to find information on the contractors to be able to team with on opportunities. There are many opportunities that you need to reassemble a new team with the best capabilities for the highest possible win rate for every opportunity that comes up. And so we shorten that process from, weeks to try to do this manual research down to the click of a button for every single opportunity there is. And it's interesting that you talk about personas, because even within the personas on the government side and on the contractor side, there are different roles involved that can use Riparyo to do their jobs in a much more efficient, very, very fast way. So on the contractor side, estimators, people doing marketing, proposal writers, business development people, managers, CFOs can manage their pipelines and reduce risk and collaborate very, very effectively. And also take, of course, the competitive landscape into account to bid less and win more, because they're focusing on the opportunities that and the teaming partners that can help them really laser target the opportunities that are going to give them the highest value to their bottom line.
June, there be maybe listeners who want to ask you more in-depth questions. Many people from the intelligence community don't like email. They may approach you at an event casually, discreetly, and ask questions. Are you speaking at any events in the next couple months where they can just waltz up to you and maybe say, I have a friend who has got this problem, but not me. Any events coming up for you?
Yes. So GTEC is coming up. It's the Government Innovation and Tech Forum, April 24th to 26th, and we'll be a sponsor there. And I'll have a speaking slot as well. Really looking forward to that event. It's going to be lots of industry CEOs and C-level people, as well as government executives and buyers, a lot of CIOs of agencies. So we're really, really looking forward to that event.
GTechForum.com for registration.
Yeah, it's put on by Tian Wang, who is the founder of Connectpreneur, and he just wanted to put on an amazing event to maximize collaboration between industry and government on the technology side. So
that's
I think
good.
He's doing a great job.
Good. So It always happens. I mean, I go to events all the time, and people walk up to me and they say, well, I didn't want to email you or call you, but I wanted to ask a question about this or that. And the avenues you go down are always fascinating.
You can always find me at SAME chapter events and AFSCA as well. So
yeah, good. When I went to your website this morning, Brad, and I wrote down my notes because I take my notes, Federal Analytics Contracting Platform. Well, that's just for contractors. I mean, if I'm a govy and I'm over at HHS and I got to make a procurement and my boss is putting the shoulder on me saying, you know, you got to make sure this is really competitive. I mean, can you help? I mean, can you guys help at all?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I think most of our acquisition workforce, which is, you know, working under very difficult conditions, I think the acquisition workforce has gone down while the amount the federal government spends over the last 5-10 years has just increased dramatically. So we know they're already under a lot of pressure, and they're trying to do the best they can for the warfighter, for our programs, for our missions, but they also have to make sure that they run the acquisition processes based on the FAR that meets guidelines around, you know, how we expect our government to purchase with enough competition, having done market research that's extensive. And when you work with acquisition offices and see the types of resources and tools they have available to them, it's clear that they don't have the best-in-breed technologies providing them the information that they need. And when you look at the federal market, there are kind of three places I look and see ways that the acquisition teams could benefit from using Riparyo. First, every contracting officer wants to make sure there's a dynamic and healthy market for the products or services they're putting out. That allows for us to get best value and benefit from competition. Most acquisition offices and contracting shops don't have a good market intelligence tool that helps them understand, for a particular capability or need, are there organizations and companies in the market that have demonstrated experience in this way, or are there new companies that have a capability that could apply? We can help them solve that. The second is they want to get information from companies. And we've been to a number of industry days where we see government reaching out, asking industry to give them information. I always ask, who's not in the room? Because there's a barrier to actually being able to show up to some of these events. Using a platform that's accessible and open and uses data to open up the view on who's able to work and participate with your organization is a big piece. And the last one is just the quality of the responses they're getting to their acquisition processes. Acquisition folks know that once they put their requirement on the street, it's a mad scramble in the market to figure out how to get to their submission deadline, make sure they have all the information that they need. If their supplier base has more information at their fingertips and acquisition has information to get out the information to the right people, we're going to get better proposals and we're going to get better value for the government.
So, Brad, remember the movie with Kevin Spacey, The Usual Suspects?
Sure.
And I could see that happening in a procurement office. And, well, we've got to integrate this Salesforce database and AWS. And we get the regular three companies, A, B, and C, the usual suspects. Well, maybe the usual suspects are too expensive or don't have specialized technology or aren't aware of how to use Kubernetes or some of the newer technologies. I mean, this is a challenge with the usual suspects. And so I think what your tool can do, open up to thousands and thousands of contractors who so an acquisition officer can document to his boss that they're optimizing the competition. They're not going to the Kevin Spacey movie.
I completely agree with you, but I want to change the characterization of that because when I say that we have a federal market that needs to be more dynamic, I don't think we're saying that the federal contractors in the market now aren't doing the best they can. I think they absolutely are. And there's tremendous value to having organizations with deep organizational knowledge of our agencies. These are not corporate companies. These are very complicated agencies, and the decisions they've had to make are driven by a lot of different characteristics than what most companies have. So what's more important, though, is that we can combine those who understand these agencies with capabilities that are out and available in the market. So, you know, the first tier is let's make sure that all the companies that could actually deliver a value or solution that would provide value know about an opportunity and are able to participate. And let's make sure those companies are able to know about other new technologies and capabilities in the market so they can pull together solutions that actually meet what the government's looking for. That's really the goal here. It's about building a healthier ecosystem and supply chain. Less so saying we want to, you know, increase competition for incumbents, et cetera. It's really about getting best value for the government in the end. And we're looking holistically at the ecosystem versus specific point solutions.
You know, June, team building is always a challenging experience for everyone in the military and the commercial world. So no go or no go teaming decision. You can assist with that, can't you? I mean, which team do you put together for this project? I mean, rather than trying to figure out, at least you can do some data-driven research by using Riperio. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. For any given opportunity, no matter what its source, whether it's coming from FBO as an existing source is sought on the street, or a task order on an upcoming contract, or in the case of even a government user uploading a requirement that's yet to be put on the street, Riperio generates a complete competitive landscape showing the entire ecosystem of contractors that have done similar work in the past, with contextual data showing their prime revenues with that same agency and sub-agency at that installation, in that geography, in that NAICS code and related NAICS codes. And also, beyond just the awardees, the entire ecosystem of historically interested vendors that have been interested in doing similar work and are looking at that market. And within a few clicks, be able to see on the contractor profile for 780,000 contractors, the global footprint of that contractor, the work that they do broken down, their revenues broken down by set-aside, by agency and sub-agency, by contract vehicle, a list of all their current contracts, how much time and capacity is left on them, with the full address book, which at a click of a button, they could develop a mailing list, send it out, and have a much, much, much higher response rate to the sources sought.
Let's take a break, come back, talk more about helping contractors and helping our procurement people as well be more efficient with data-driven decisions. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have June Marshall and Brad Motti. They're both executives at a company called Riperio. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We got an interesting company here that benefits contractors and my listeners, federal technology professionals. In fact, even benefits the acquisition people who are listening. So it's hard to describe the company because it's many different applications. We have June Marshall and Brad Motti, and they're both executives at a company called Riperio, Riperio.io. I was there this morning, and I read all the stuff I could. And June, I saw this number, 780,000 contractors. That's a whole lot in your database, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It represents over 1.3 million SAM profiles that we're able to, solve entity resolution on the contractors to create one contractor entity to be able to see their global footprint across federal.
And so if you're in a program, you got to find someone who knows SharePoint integration well, then you can dial up someone or a person close, or so easy to find people have that specific skill set. Is that right?
And not only that, you can find how SharePoint is purchased on what contract vehicles and what primes have those contract vehicles, and laser target either a teaming partnership or a channel partnership with one of those in a matter of just a few clicks.
And if you have no past performance, you can find someone and kind of sub or whatever you want to do
and
here.
And similarly, if the government is looking at, I need to purchase SharePoint, are there some other vehicles that other agencies are using, and who are those and what are those?
Brad, I remember that credit card commercial from 10 years ago. Why do you have this credit card? Gives me possibilities. I mean, that's what it is. Maybe that should be your tag. Gives me possibilities because it gives you the control of who you want to partner with, who you don't want to partner with, which way to go.
It absolutely does. And it's, for a government user, even a federal program manager that has an ill-formed requirement on their desk, they can use Riperio to engage with industry much, much earlier to find solutions that are out there in the market, and also be able to find other agencies that have procured similar work and be able to collaborate with them and ask questions.
I am shopping for a car, and you can go to CarMax and you can drive a car home for a couple days. And so can people go to your website and do a test drive as well?
Absolutely, yes. We offer a free trial within a click on our website.
And let's give the website one more time. It's a tricky website.
www.riperio.io, Repper.io.
.io. Now, that is a very different type of a URL. And my question to you, Brad, is why? What's so different about you? I mean, what's Mickey so special? Why are you the fancy band here?
Yeah, well, first we recognize that there are a lot of resources out there already, both professional services firms that try to help and other resources for data. I think there are two things that differentiate us. One is we like to say we're built by federal for federal. We are people who spent a good part of our careers in the federal space trying to either help the government on the policy side and acquisition side, or trying to provide capabilities to the government. We've brought together a ton of great experience, people who really understand the space. We thought that's really important because this is a very unique market. And we've started to pull together an incredible group of advisors across, you know, acquisition policy expertise, data science expertise, federal capture knowledge. It's really, the momentum is building here around people saying we really do need a new solution and they want to be a part of this. The second piece is that we're a SaaS platform. SaaS stands for Software as a Service. And what that means is we're very interested in providing a technology tool that takes services and activities that people are doing and transforms the way they do them and gives them a lot of efficiency and benefits. We're not trying to sell additional services. We're not trying to sell additional data products. Our goal here is to build a platform that everyone can be a part of to transform how they do their work. And we're really passionate about creating a technology company that's going to do that.
So is this custom federal spending data as a service? Is that what it is? Put all these words together?
Well, I think the custom part is that when you say I'm Brad and I'm from such and such contractor, you know, we already know a tremendous amount of information about you from our platform. And so when you set up an instance of your persona or your user in our tool, we actually use that information to start tailoring and customizing the information for you right out of the box. You know, that's really important because I don't have time as someone in the federal market to be customizing tools and dashboards. I don't have time to be putting in multiple search queries to look for information. I want to be able to interact with the tool and bring a lot of the processes that I use into the tool so that I can get off the tool and go do my job. And that's what the platform's trying to do.
And similarly, for a government user, instead of opportunities customized to the contractor, they're looking at their uploaded forecast of opportunities, or they can upload all the requirements that they're working on and have instantly generated competitive landscapes that are refreshing every single day with the latest data from FPDS, from ESRS, you know, from all different sources, and cut down a process that could take weeks for an individual requirement to a matter of minutes.
So I have to ask you, June, what do you read to keep up with all the new technologies out there? And I mean, I do a tech show every week, and I'm like in 1972 for technology. It's hard to keep up. How do you keep up? What do you read?
I read everything. So I have been, you know, I was an emerging technology market analyst in the early 90s in San Francisco during the first dot-com boom, and I have been obsessed with emerging technologies, and I read everything I can on Internet of Things, on blockchain, on artificial intelligence, computational linguistics, and supply chain. And I'm so interested in the nexus of all of those things. So I read Twitter. I follow keywords on Twitter to find thought leaders in all of these spaces, and especially people that are at the intersection of these spaces. And I read everything that they post. And then I follow them and end up interacting with them.
Influencer marketing is what's called, isn't it?
Well, I learn so much from these people. I mean, and I've developed some great friendships with some people that are just absolutely at the bleeding edge. So that's really fun.
And I was going to say, I get a lot of the emails that she forwards me to read. So that fills up a lot of my time is just keeping up with everything that June reads. The other thing I'll say is that when I came to this market about 6-7 years ago, I actually took on a bit of a research project to really find best practices and frameworks that have worked in the federal market. And I came from a very sort of a business-minded standpoint. And I got to be honest with you, there isn't a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of really interesting conceptual stuff that's out there. There are some great best practice case studies out there. But this is a really difficult market to understand holistically. And so I'm constantly reading materials both out of the business side of the house in terms of business best practices and governance, and then also thinking about what's been working in government. So I sort of geek out on that stuff. And between June and I, we combine technology with our knowledge of the market, and that's how we end up where we are here.
Got a 90-second answer for you, I'm going to expect. So what is the volume of qualified offerers? So from the federal procurement perspective, do they need a certain volume in order to make an offer? Is that right?
Well, without getting into the specifics of the characteristics of acquisition policy, of a specific acquisition, I think the bottom line is the government is required to run an acquisition process that meets standards that are mandated by the FAR. Our tool is designed to help them meet those requirements and also get a great solution in place.
They can actually calibrate the past performance requirements on an opportunity to optimize the number of qualified offers.
Oh.
A lot of times they won't even know exactly what NAICS code is right. And so they could create a requirement under a set of different NAICS codes. And using the sources sought set aside, it's 11 competitive landscapes in one, which show you each ecosystem, all the 8A companies who've done similar work, EDW, OSB, service disabled, veteran owned, and compare. And so they could build a mailing list for each one of those and send out proactively an email to these contractors saying, hey, go take a look at my sources sought. And they will experience a very different response rate to their opportunities and have very highly qualified proposals.
You have to recognize a lot of these contracting offices are using systems where companies have to put their information in the system. Question is, who's not in their system? You know, that's what we're trying to address here.
Yeah. And with so many new technologies out there, I tossed out the word Kubernetes, but you can just take encryption. I mean, there's worlds of new things going on. You can take a look at it's satellite systems. There's new products coming on every 6 months. I mean, we're at a point of change now where you almost have to subscribe to a company that can amalgamate all the information in one spot because there's too much to keep up with.
There are, yes, and NAICS codes are the problem. You know, NAICS codes, UNSPC codes, every single standard there is for codifying what a scope of work is, and they don't at all map to logical categories of work, and they never will be able to keep up.
Because the I is for industrial.
You know? And so that's why we are classifying capabilities and make it possible to do keyword searches of past contracts and also contractor capabilities to surpass the boundaries and the artificial constraints of NAICS codes.
Right. And like I said earlier, the I is industrial. And when these codes came out, it was, 70, 80 years ago when they're talking about manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And John, I think it's important to note here, we're just getting started. Without going into too many details because we don't have time, we have a pretty aggressive and broad agenda with how we want to use this information. So stay tuned.
Let's take a break, come back, talk more about dashboards and maybe the future of this industry. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have June Marshall, founder, and Brad Motti, president of Riparyo. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have June Marshall, founder and CEO, as well as Brad Motti, president of a company called Riparyo, R-E-P-P-E-R-I-O. You can go to their website, reppeer.io, and get more information. We talked in the break about focus groups and you reaching out and learning more from focus groups. What's going on with your focus group outreach here?
We have several agencies interested in testing out our tool to actually quantify the savings in time and cost that it takes to follow their regular market research process on a set of requirements, and then do that same process within Riparyo. And we plan on assembling those results and insights and really valuable feedback and perspective into a white paper.
Hmm, that's good. And that the next couple of weeks the focus groups can take place?
Yeah, we're having those calls right now.
Well, I tell you what I teach my students is to listen very carefully produce a product that solves a problem. And that's the origin of your company. I mean, the folks at SAME, S-A-M-E, you were listening to their problems, and that was the start of it, wasn't it? I mean, it was
Absolutely.
A bigger focus group than a small one, but these folks are helping you all along, aren't they?
All along. Yeah. We've gone on this journey together.
Society of American Military Engineers, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Those are the guys that build those castles everywhere? Is that the civil
engineer? No. It's an amazing organization of architecture, engineering, and construction companies, but also 30% are government representatives. Federal program managers, USACE, all the branches of the military come together in this amazing collaborative environment to talk about best practices. It's an amazing environment.
They may be able to be a candidate for your company too, I guess, couldn't they? They could use it somehow or other to learn all different looking for prospective new members of their association through your service.
We have actually. We've worked with SAME National as a way to just pay it forward for the community of SAME helping us build Riparyo into what it is. We helped them segment their entire database of membership to say, to show them all of the certifications, whether they're geographically distributed, prime, sub, their revenues broken down into seven branches.
Wow.
And then also gave them a list of 160,000 AEC professionals that are not yet members of SAME. And so,
and I don't know that term, AEC?
Architecture, Engineering, and Construction.
Mm.
The whole ecosystem, from the primes, the subs, the second tier subs, all the way down to the manufacturers.
Yeah, good target
list
for them.
Yes, the whole supply chain.
Yeah, interesting. You know, Brad, years ago, I remember going to a SharePoint demonstration, and they showed me their dashboard. It was like third grade crayon. It was weak. Last week, I was at a Tableau software event, and they were doing I couldn't imagine how they're visualizing all kinds of different things, but dashboards are important. And I read on your website you have some kind of a dashboard that might be available for the federal users.
Absolutely. So the tool is primarily dashboard based in that it's not just that we have this data that's been cleansed and thought through and pulled together in a meaningful way. It's also that we're visualizing the data in a way that's useful and helps you quickly find the information that you need. So for federal acquisition teams or contracting teams, they're going to be able to have a dashboard that's really customized to what they're looking for. We don't want you to spend a lot of time constantly changing the characteristics of your dashboard and not getting the information you need. So we'll work with them to customize their dashboard and be able to actually put their own information into the dashboard and let it interact with our data set to give them the information that they're looking for.
And that would help my govies optimize competition.
Absolutely.
And that dashboard could be used for contractors as well, couldn't it?
Absolutely. So when a government user uses it, that instead of a dashboard of opportunities that a contractor would see, that's automatically from the very first time that they log in, customized to every single opportunity there is that's matched to them. Their prime, sub, and teaming opportunities based on their NAICS codes and their certifications and the size standards of those NAICS codes. For a government user, they work on requirements. And so we or they can upload their entire forecast or a new set of requirements that they're working on that never will hit the street. And it interacts with our data set, automatically generates those competitive landscapes for every single opportunity in one click.
Next week, I'm doing a workshop for a local company. We're going to sit down with 20 salespeople. We're going to come up with 500 keywords for their company so they can put those keywords on their website and people can find them for that. That's a more difficult task than it looks like. When I was at your website, I saw DCAA as a keyword. So what is DCAA?
So DCAA is a cost accounting certification that many federal agencies require their contractors to have. And it's an example of the type of requirement or characteristic of a requirement that comes out that really causes the market to scramble a little bit, particularly because the choice of the company becoming DCAA may not, in fact, be related to the actual work that's being done, but a decision that was made by either legal or the contracting office that was separate from the program. So when these types of requirements come out, you've got industry really scrambling to find companies to be able to meet the requirements and the solution and the team that's ultimately proposed. Our dashboard with literally one click will help you quickly work through the information you need to find those companies and be able to quickly put a partner solution in place.
Speaking of finding, how can they find your company on Twitter?
Get Riparo. And also they can find me at June Rose M. And I love connecting with people and sharing ideas. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn as well.
Boy, June Marshall. An easy one. June Rose M. Mm-hmm. Good, good, good. Brad, there's an organization called the GFAO, Government Financial Officers Association, about 19,000 people. I'm going to speak to their conference in Denver in May. Would they be people who would be interested in your product, or is that a good target for you, some group like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone that's interested in collecting information and understanding how the federal market is currently behaving at any given time, our tool is absolutely valuable for. We've spent a lot of time talking about the federal government, which is obviously an important user for us. Federal contractors who are looking to provide requirements. But we also think there's a larger ecosystem of companies out there that are very interested in the federal government and what's happening. For example, there are a lot of transaction advisory merger and acquisitions companies that are out there that are spending a lot of time doing due diligence on federal contractors and trying to understand the breadth and scope of their capability as it pertains to what the government's buying. We can give that information in a couple clicks on our tool. And then there's a broader ecosystem of service providers, people whose primary market is to support and serve not only the federal government, but also federal contractors, staffing companies, marketing companies, telecommunications companies. We have a customized database that allows them to identify people at all these companies to reach out and speak to. We like to sometimes joke it's like LinkedIn for federal contractors. Huh. So absolutely, there's an application to a broad audience.
It is a lead generation gold mine.
Hmm. Interesting. So, June, it's pretty obvious you have a federal analytics contracting platform. Where's it going to head in the next 5 to 10 years? Where do you see this whole concept going?
So I think that there's we sort of envision a vibrant, healthy federal market, and we mean that in the broadest sense. We'd love to see more participation in the supplier side by more contractors, and I mean participation across the spectrum. We're not talking about more small businesses, more large businesses. We just like to see a lot more engagement that are the signs of a healthy market. We'd love to see the federal government continue to engage and participate with the market in a much more effective way. We would love for decisions to be data-driven and not just based on intuition and inside knowledge that folks have about a specific program or a specific company. And we think that with more information, we'll all get better outcomes. And then finally, we envision a world that has less waste in both human capital and time. There's a lot of energy that's put into doing basic things like collecting information on contractor capabilities, understanding who's in the market. There's no reason for the valuable time and resources of the folks in this industry to be going towards information that can be assembled and put together for them in a click.
You know, June, I have a friend in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, who started a cybersecurity company that's very successful. And there's talent in Ohio, there's talent in North Dakota, there's talent in Kansas. I think what your system does, it allows people in other parts of the country to compete. They don't have to be inside the Beltway or have face-to-face relationships with govies. They can look at different requests and supply a skill set for them, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It
can mitigate risk as well in really assessing a new market and seeing the entire ecosystem and what the government is buying and how they buy it and who the contractors are in every area of the country, even overseas. You know, I was collecting data and assessing the competitive landscape in Guam, in the Middle East, in Okinawa. And with the click of a button, you can laser target the opportunities and the contractors that'll be your best teaming partners.
Great. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, June Marshall, founder and CEO, and Brad Motti, president of Riparyo. Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.